That's one of them that you go, That's one of them, I don't know what to do. We're going to be praying over the prayer list after the word this morning. All classes, you could be dismissed. Walk, children, please walk. You're only allowed to run if it's the Holy Ghost. Someone will come to us, the Holy Ghost made me do it, Pastor Shirley. Hallelujah. Pastor is still in the hospital. He is on his way to recovery and I believe complete restoration. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Sister Sherry, thank you for being obedient to the Lord this morning on the songs that you sang. We couldn't have sat down and wrote that prophetic word and got together and said, this is what you need to sing, Sherry. This will go along with the word God gave us. Thank you for being obedient to God. And thank you, church, for being part of New Life and for your faithfulness to pastors and your faithfulness to continue to come to the house of the Lord and your continued faithfulness to give to the work of the kingdom. God's not done yet. Amen. This is only a curve in the road, and all curves eventually come to an end. Some curves last longer than other curves, but the main thing is when you're going around the curve, don't try to overcorrect. If you will hang in with the curve, it'll soon end.
That's right.
Amen. I got that revelation one time. I thought, that's good. And how many's ever did some ditch liners before? I've did a few. I've never overcorrected and overturned. Hallelujah. But just hang with the curve because this too shall pass. Amen. So I was thinking about pastors this morning and I thought, you know, if Pastor could be with us today, what would he tell us as a church? What would he feel like God would say, would want us to hear this morning? And what I heard that I believe that he would want to say to us would be, keep the faith, church. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. And you know, at times like this, with everything going on with Pastor and then being hit with Miss Draper decided, okay, I've had enough of this old world, I'm going home. So she just went home. What a way to go. This past week, it's easy to, and even in your own lives with the things that some of you are going through. I'm ringing up here. Do I need to do something? And even in our own lives and your lives and things that you've gone through and are going through, it's easy to begin to question why. And I found out in the midst of going through something, that becomes easy to do sometimes. You know, begin to question why. And I found out that though when we began to start that questioning why, what happens is the devil begins to whisper. And he will always tell you why, but it's not the truth. He will just give you enough to believe the lie. That you're not good enough, that you haven't prayed enough, that you haven't been faithful to pay your tithes, that you don't give enough, that you don't come to the house of the Lord enough, you don't read your scriptures enough. And all those things are good, appropriate, and things that we should do to be blessed by God. But God loves you.
Amen.
He is your Father. He is your Abba Father. He is your God. Amen. So when we begin to question why, we begin to doubt. And that's when the enemy comes in and he begins the same lie that he told back in the Garden of Eden. Church, his deception and his lies have not changed. They become conducive to you and to your personality. You understand what I'm saying when I say that? In other words, he's going to talk on your level. He's going to talk to you in a way, and I know people say, oh, don't talk about the devil, don't talk about the enemy. He's already been defeated. Yes, he has been defeated, but sometimes we forget that he has been defeated. So we need somebody to tell us, hello, In the end, we win. But I tell you, God's already walked the end to the beginning. Now, he said, I'll give you the anointing to walk out the middle. Amen? So what happens is when we begin to question why things are going on and this is happening and that's happening, he comes in, he says, what if? The same lie that was in the garden. What if God really said that Jesus took the stripes for your healing, then why are you sick? Why are you having to do this test and that test or go through this and go through that? So we don't want to ever get to the place to allow the enemy to come in and we start questioning, why are we going through this? Why is this happening? So if God says why is this all this happening? But I've not come just to preach or just to fill a place, because pastor could have got anybody to preach today. And I just didn't wake up one morning and decide I was going to preach. Amen. I believe that preaching is a gift and a calling of God. You don't go to school to be a preacher. You go to school to prepare yourself to preach. Amen. It's God that gives the calling, and it's God that gives the anointing. So I believe that I have been positioned and placed at this time for a purpose and for a reason.
Amen.
And I have found out that nothing happens in our life by accident when we are following God. Right. Now, if we're out there doing stupid stuff and stupid choices, things will happen to us. Amen? Because you can shorten your life and all that stuff. And that's a whole other word. So therefore, I've not come just to fulfill a position this morning. I have come to declare and to decree a thing and to set in order some things in the atmosphere that this is what God's saying, church. And when you begin to decree and to declare a thing and it lines up with the Word of God, darkness has to move. Out of the darkness, the light shines. You know, do not worship from afar when the darkness settles in. God went into the cloud, the dark cloud, and Moses went into the dark cloud, and God was there with him. So out of the midst of that darkness that we sing that song, the glory of the Lord shall be revealed. So just because you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and can talk in tongues more than anybody, doesn't exempt you from being in the dark place. Amen?
Amen.
But I tell you one thing. When you are saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost, and you know who you belong to, that glory of the Lord will shine out of that dark place. And how does anybody make it without the Lord? I don't know. No wonder there's drugs rampant and all these things going on. Because people are trying to find a way out. Amen. Because they don't know about a relationship with God. And that's what it's all about anyway, church. It's a relationship with God. Amen. So I've come on a mission today to decree and declare the word of the Lord. And the first thing I want to decree and declare before I get into the message is that the word of God is still true, even in darkness. Jesus shed his blood for the remission of his sins, and by his stripes we are healed. I'm drawing a line in the sand and decree and declaring again, because sometimes the devil is hard of hearing, that Jesus Christ paid the price on Calvary for the remission of our sins by the shedding of his blood, and he took the stripes that we are healed.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And when he hung on the cross that day, church, and he said it was finished, that's something happened in the atmosphere, and the veil was... Oh, God, help me. I got to preach. I can't run. And when he hung on the cross and he said it is finished, the veil was ripped from the top and the bottom. And we could go into the throne room at that point. We didn't have to have anybody to go in for us. Thank God for the laying on of hands and calling people and getting us to pray for. But when Jesus died on the cross, he said it's finished, and the dark cloud, the veil was rent. We were able to go into the throne room of God and find a mercy seat.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. So we no longer have to stand from afar, but we can now go into the throne room before God and bring our praise and petitions, and God invites us to come in. It's not that we just come in, but God says, I'm inviting you to come in. Don't stand afar and worship me because all this stuff is going on. You know, I'm there in the midst. I'm there in the midst. Hallelujah. So bring our praise and our petitions, and we found a mercy seat. And so when darkness settles in around us, that's not the time to worship from afar, but that's the time to run to the mercy seat. That's the time to run to the throne. Hallelujah. That's not time to withdraw from worship, but it's the time to praise and worship like you've never worshiped before. Do something radical. Hallelujah. Do something different. Hallelujah. If you've never danced, dance. If you never run, run. Well, I don't feel like it. Yes, so Jesus didn't feel like going to the cross that day, but he did.
That's right.
Amen. Hallelujah. He did. And you know what? When he did, he took a chance on you. What was the chance he took on you? The chance he took on you was the fact that he went through what he went through, and he never knew that you was going to accept him. He left that choice up to you. That was a big chance that he took on all of us. I'm going to go, but I don't know if they'll ever accept what this plan is all about, God, but I'll do it anyway. Amen. And then it was left up to us to whether we accepted that plan of salvation or not. Keeping the faith. Keeping the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. A definition of keep is to maintain the course. Now, John 10:10 tells us that the thief, the enemy of our souls that we're afraid to talk about sometimes, not to glorify him, but to say, hey, this is the way it is. This is what you're coming up against. But this is it. This is a covenant that we have with him, because with Jesus, because of the blood, with God, because of the blood. The thief, the enemy, comes only to steal, to kill, and to destroy. He comes that he may. Jesus came, though, that we may have life and have it more abundantly. For this purpose, the Bible tells us, the Son of God was made manifest and brought into existence, that the works of the enemy, the works of the evil one, might be destroyed. Glory to God. So the thief, you know, a thief never tells the truth. It was like I was saying a while ago, a thief is not going to go to court. I broke in their house. Yes, sir, I did, Judge, and I took everything they had. No, they're going to hire them a good lawyer or a court-appointed lawyer, and they're going to say, this is, you know, try to defend themselves. And that's what he does with the whispers. That's what he does when he begins to whisper. We'll begin to believe the lie that if God said. So a thief is never going to tell you the truth. Amen. So it's the job of the enemy of our souls to get us off course, to overcorrect in the curve when God's saying, just hang with me. Just hang out with me, and it'll be all right. It don't look good right now, no. But if you'll just hang with me, this too shall pass. So it's the job of the enemy of our souls to get us off course, to make us to quit, to throw in the towel, so to speak, and give up and to quit believing. Hallelujah. But Matthew 24:13 says that he that shall endure to the end shall be saved. Now, we could take that scripture, you know, and we can say, well, the Bible says if I just endure this, if I just make it to the end, then everything's going to be all right when I get to heaven. We ain't going to need this word when we get to heaven. This word is a roadmap for us right now in overcoming and to maintain the course and to keep us on course and to keep us from overcorrecting in the curve. So we're not just enduring until we die and go to be with the Lord. You know, when I look at that scripture, I look at it in a whole different light. I'm not just barely making it through life. I'm just not barely overcoming. I'm not just enduring till the end. The same shall be saved. You know, this may have become a gloom and doom scripture to some people. So I will look at this scripture a little bit different for a minute. Endure means to remain. What did I just say keep mean? Keep the faith. It means to stay on course. Keep. To stay on course. So endure means to remain. It means to persevere. It means to have fortitude. And my goodness, this is a running word here, church. Fortitude means staying power. Did you know God can anoint you with a staying power? Now, what's a staying power? It's a sticking it out until the breakthrough comes. So I'm not just enduring until the breakthrough gets here. But he has given me staying power. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah, church. He has given you staying power. Hallelujah. Glory. Woo! Oh, my goodness. Lord, have mercy on me. He has given you staying power. Woo! Oh, my goodness. I need an organ in this place. Endure, remain, stay of fortitude. And saved, of course, we know means to heal, preserve, do well, made whole. Nothing missing, nothing broken. So he that God anoints with staying power until the end shall be delivered. They shall be healed. They shall overcome. They shall stay in the curve and not overcorrect. Hallelujah. They're not going to whisper, listen to the whispers of the enemy that says, if God said, then why is all this happening? Hallelujah. It could be all this is happening because you are anointed. Woo! Because you are saved, because you are a child of God. And when the devil sees red, it makes him mad, just like a bull. Oh, my God. When he looks at you, all he can see is the blood of Jesus. He don't see your mess. Oh, Jesus, help me. Glory to God. When he looks at you, he don't see the messed up you that was in the past. He don't see the messed up you now. Hallelujah. He don't see the stuff. All he sees is the blood, and that's enough to back him off. Glory to God. The blood of Jesus. We don't hear enough about the blood, but it's the blood that has saved you. It's the blood that keeps you. Hallelujah. Oh, thank God for the blood of Jesus. Oh, my goodness. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, well, you know, God will anoint you with staying power to keep on keeping on until there's a breakthrough. How do we keep on keeping on when it seems as the enemy has a bullseye on us and our pastors and then when we're hit? How do we keep the faith? And how do we keep on and hold on to the promises of God? Hallelujah. And sometimes the darts do hit us. And sometimes we do get stung. Hallelujah. We may get knocked down, but we're not knocked out. So how do we keep the faith to keep on keeping on? Number one, you have to continue to believe in the goodness of God. Hallelujah. You have to continue to believe that God is a good God. You know, we say that thing that says so casually. Sometimes we say God is good all the time, and all the time God's good. We say that, but do we believe it? Is good God good all the time? God is good all the time. Hallelujah. So we have to continue, in order to keep the faith, we have to continue to believe that God's goodness, that God is a good God. And so when you begin to look at the goodness of God in the Bible, you can't help but find it running all through Genesis to Revelation about God's faithfulness. That's the goodness of God. About God's forgiving. That's the goodness of God. Hallelujah. About God's provision. That's the goodness of God. Amen. About God anointing you with staying power. That's the goodness of God. So in the midst of keep on keeping on, keep in the faith, you've got to believe in the goodness of God, that God is a good God. And the more we know about God's goodness, the more that we trust Him. You know, if I don't believe that God is a good God and He's out to get me and one day He says one thing and one day He may do something else, then you know what? I don't trust somebody like that. You know, there's people you may have worked with or people in your family. They're wavering. One day they'll say one thing, the next day they say something else. Or one day they'll do something, one day they'll do something else. See, God's not like us humans. Hallelujah. He's unwavering. He said, all the promises of my kingdom are not unbroken, He told us in the Word earlier. Thank you, Jesus. So the more we trust Him, the more we begin to understand that He has our best intentions in mind, that we can trust Him, the easier it is for us to put our life in His hands, the easier it is to say, okay, you take it and you deal with it, God. I'm just hanging out with you in the curve. Amen. I'm just going to hang out with you in the curve. Hallelujah. So next thing we've got to remember is that God is not an unwavering God, like I mentioned about a while ago. That He's not in one day and out the next. That He doesn't promise you a word and then not fulfill it, church. He doesn't say one thing one day and then take it back the next. And he doesn't promise you one thing and do something else. He is steadfast and he is sure. So the second thing is in keeping on with the faith, keep the faith, is to know that God is steadfast and sure, and he is not an unwavering God. Psalms 27:13 says, What would have become of me had I not believed that I would see the goodness, the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? I tell you, when you look out there, if you look through the world's view and not heaven's view, you wonder where there's any goodness at, or if there's even any good left in people anymore. You know, like my daddy raised me that my word was my bond. You know, if you said it, you did it. If you had to sacrifice stuff for yourself, if you gave somebody your word, you do it. If you tell somebody you're going to be somewhere at 9 o'clock, then you be there at 9 o'clock. Unless you decide to overcorrect in the car and turn over. Amen? Hallelujah. Your word is your bond. God's word is his bond to us. He said, my promises are not unbroken in my kingdom. If I said it, I don't unwaver. But I'll do it. Amen. So what would I have become of me if I had not believed that I would see the Lord's goodness in the land of the living? The word goodness there in that particular passage of Scripture means God has his best interest in mind for you. God has his best. And one thing that can give you peace and comfort is to know that there's nothing in the dark cloud, that there's nothing that has happened that God hasn't already known about. That nothing takes him by surprise. When I got that revelation one day, because when something happened, I think, oh my gosh, God already knew it. So if he already knew it, he's already taken care of it. Amen. I just got to be still and know that he's God. Amen. So God has your best interest in mind. We keep the faith by believing in the goodness of God. The goodness of God is allowing it to be a foundation to build all else upon. That is the foundation of faith, church. It's the goodness of God. Because how can you have faith in something if you don't believe that his best interest is in your mind? You know, I believe that my husband loves me enough that he would run in a burning building to drag me out at his own risk. And that's what I meant a while ago when Jesus said, I'm going to take the chance. Amen. So God's word is unbroken. And I think about David in the Bible. So we keep the faith by believing if God has did it before, he'll do it again. I think about David in the Bible. David knew and understood the goodness of God. If he didn't, he wouldn't have been able to append some of the most beautiful psalms that we've read. Some of the psalms that have set us free. So David knew. He wrote about the goodness of God all the time. Even God calls him a man after his own heart. You know what a person after God's own heart is? It's a person that just says, God, no matter what happens, no matter the darkness, no matter what happens, I will pursue you. I will stand sure and steadfast that you were God. And if I go down, I'll still go down believing that you were God. Amen. Amen. So David knew and understood the goodness of God. And even God calls him a man after his own heart. And David penned the 23rd Psalms. And I love the 23rd Psalms. I don't read the 23rd Psalms just at funerals. Amen. There is breakthrough in the 23rd Psalms if you'll read it in the right context. Amen. There is, it's stocked full of the promises of God for now, not just for funerals. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. That's the goodness of God, because a shepherd's going to take care of his sheep no matter what. Amen. To feed, guide, and shield me. I shall not lack. I shall not lack. That's God's provision. That's God's goodness. He makes me lie down in fresh, tender, green pastures. In other words, there's a time that we just need to rest. There's a time that we just need to rest. He refreshes and restores my life, myself. He leads me in the paths of righteousness, uprightness, and right standing with him, not for my earning it, but for his name's sake. Yes, I walk through the deep, sunless valley of the shadow of death. That's the darkness that we've been talking about. The times when we don't understand, the times that we want to question. Valley of the shadow, I will fear or dread no evil. You are with me. Your rod to protect me. We're talking about the goodness of God. Your rod to protect me and your staff to guide me. They comfort me. And I love this one. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. I'm telling you, church, anything that is contrary to what this word said is your enemy. Sickness or anything else, poverty or anything else is an enemy. But you know what God said? He said, because you are my anointed, hallelujah, you are my called, you are the sheep of my pasture, I'm going to prepare a table before you in the presence of my enemies. And I'm going to make the enemy eat his own word. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How many need a table prepared before you in the presence of your enemy? Hallelujah. He says, you prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely are only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. He's not unwavering one day. He doesn't love you 1 minute and not love you the next. His love is continuous no matter how ugly we get. And you get ugly sometimes. And you say things sometimes that you don't mean to say. Because we're all here and we're not perfect. And we ain't been delivered yet. You know, at one time I said, you don't talk about my mom and daddy. You don't talk about my son. And you don't talk about my pastors. Because I ain't been all the way delivered yet. Hallelujah. You anoint my head with oil. My brimming cup runs over. Surely, only goodness, mercy, and unfailing love shall follow me all the days of my life. And through the length of my days, the house of the Lord, His presence, the house of the Lord, and His presence shall be my dwelling place. Where the whispers come in, if God said, David penned this Psalms. It filled him with boldness and confidence that God could. If we begin to understand and get the revelation till there's no point of any doubt whatsoever of God's goodness and of God's unfailing love, our faith will take off like it's never been taken off before. Because in order to have faith, which God says He's already given to us, then you have got to believe that God has your best interest in mind, that He is a good God, that His goodness wants to fill you. The more we begin to grab a hold of that and to understand it, the more bold we are going to be in our believing, in our receiving, and in our declarations. Because if we don't believe in the goodness of God and His unfailing love toward us, that no matter what, He loves us, and that His goodness is there for us, we will not be bold. We will think, well, maybe He will and maybe He won't. But the more we begin to understand about this relationship that God wants to have with us, then the more we can stand about His goodness, and the more goodness you see in your life, the more you believe Him. Amen. And the more you know that His unfailing love is for you. You remember David, you know, penned all these beautiful psalms. When a lion came after the sheep of his flock, you know the stories of David if you've been in church long. David didn't run away. He single-handedly caught the lion by its head or mane or whatever that is and killed it. And in other words, he didn't back off from the darkness. How many knows that we've had bears to come after sometimes, big bears? You know, and I'm not literally talking about bears. You know what I'm saying, church. A bad report, amen, suddenly in the middle of the night or whatever. A bad doctor's report. Big bears come out sometimes, hallelujah. And David didn't run from it because he knew he was anointed to handle that situation. So what did he do? He grabbed it and he single-handedly took care of it. And then again, when the bear came, David killed it too. You know what, church? Everything that we overcome, Everything that we go through should remind us it's only preparation for something bigger that God wants us to do or maybe to encounter down the road. Because I'll show you that in a minute. So David didn't back off from the bear, and he didn't back off from the lion. And sometimes we have bears in our lives, and sometimes we have lions in our lives. Amen. And it could be our family, and it could be people at work. It could be a financial situation, a bad report. There are lions and bears, and there's always going to be as long as we're in this life. But when we begin to get a revelation and understand the goodness of God and of His unfailing love, then we're not going to back off from it. Amen. So David, later on in his life, God was only preparing David for something greater. You know, you just say, God, if I'm walking through this, I'm not denying that this is what the situation is. And I'm going to walk through it with courage, boldness, and with your anointing, with that staying power. Because I believe down the road, I'm going to be able to look back. And I'm going to say, my goodness, I saw the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. And surely if God delivered me from the hand of the bear, from the paw of the bear, and from the mouth of the lion, why, He's going to deliver me from this. Amen? That's just God. Glory to God. So later in his life, David, when everybody in Israel was afraid, David had already been prepared for this moment. Woo! David had already been prepared to face that Goliath. Because how many knows there are some reports that seems worse than other reports? There are other situations that seem worse than other situations. But I want you to know the anointing of God is the same.
Amen.
When he looks at situations and circumstances, all he sees is something that's just there. You know, so we just say, oh, you're there again. Oh, you're there. Amen. So David, later in his life, when everybody in Israel was afraid to fight Goliath, David was the only one courageous enough to fight him. Why? Because David had been back there. He had fought a few lions. And he had fought a few bears. And he saw the goodness of the Lord in that situation. So he said, my goodness, if God could take care of a lion, if God could take care of a bear, surely to goodness he can take care of this giant. Woo! Hallelujah. Are you all asleep this morning? Glory to God. Glory to God. So to him it was just another situation that he was already anointed to take care of through the mighty hand of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, glory to God. So he said in 1 Samuel 17, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion, out of the paw of the bear, well, he'll deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. Let me have a lick at him. Glory to God. So God will put in your hand the weapon that is needed to overcome. Any report, any situation, we have to ask God for wisdom. Okay, God, this is what it is. Now, what do I need to do? And God will place in your hands that the weapon that is needed, and He will anoint you. We stay in power until the breakthrough comes through. My goodness. So David not only knew about the goodness of God, he had seen it work in his life. And it's like I said, the more we see the goodness of God in operation in our life, keep the faith. Keep the faith. The more we see that, to maintain the course, don't quit. Hallelujah. The more we see that, the more bolder we become to begin to decree and to declare a thing. You know, church, God is a speaking God. He stood out on nothing one time, nothing but darkness one time, and He spoke. And He's made us speaking creatures. That's why it's so important that we watch the words of our mouth. Amen. So we begin to decree and declare a thing in a situation of how we know that God wants it to be, not how we want it to be. Amen. God, give me wisdom. What do you want to do about this situation? What do I need to do? You've anointed me with staying power to keep the course. Hallelujah. So David knew about the goodness of God. He had seen it at work in his life. He had seen the victories of God's goodness and gain for him. And just thinking of those things will make you bold. When we allow ourselves to think about the goodness of God in our own life, it will cause us to be bold in our believing and declarations and our giving and whatever else. When things do come, when the fiery darts of the enemy do come and we're hit, we can stand and say, I believe I will see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. So we keep the faith by believing that God has done it before and He will do it again. Amen. Keeping the faith is believing that this too shall pass. You know, it's always better the next day. When you get that bad report or that situation or search, at that moment, oh, it couldn't get no worse. But the next day, this too has passed. Amen. The next day, this too shall pass. Amen. I want you to know whatever you're going through, this too shall pass. Amen. If you're listening over the internet today, this too shall pass. I don't care what kind of mess you thought you'd made out of it. I don't care what kind of mess that you've been in. This too shall pass. Amen. God's only preparing your mess for a message. Yes. Amen. He's only preparing you for a message. He said in the prophetic word, the word that I will give to you, you will be able to give to others. See, God just didn't deliver you just for yourself.
That's right.
As much as God thanks with you and sent His Son to die for you, He delivered you so you not just for yourself. He delivered you that you could be a testimony.
Yes.
That people would see the glory of God. That people would see the goodness of God in the land of the living.
Amen.
So there's nothing, there's no mess too big that God can't handle.
Amen.
He's good at cleaning up messes. Amen. He's got some mean green. Amen. Mm-hmm. This too shall pass. There's a song that Yolanda Adams sing, and you're going to be blessed. I ain't going to sing it. And it's called, In the Middle of the Turbulence Surrounding You, These Trying Times Are So Hard to Endure. In the middle of what seems to be your darkest hour, hold fast your heart and be assured. This too shall pass. Like every night that's come before it, it will never be more than you can bear. This too shall pass. So in this thought, you'll be comforted, for it's in His hand. The Father knows the tears that you cry before they fall. He feels the pain. His heart and yours are one. The Father knows that sorrows and heavy chains are strong, but with His strength you'll overcome, for this too shall pass. Like every night that's come before, He'll never be more than you can bear. This too shall pass. So in this thought, be comforted. For His hand, it's in His hands, this too shall pass. So set your eyes, set them on the mountain, and lift up your head to the sky, and let His arms of love surround you. This too shall pass. And let Him take you to the other side. So in this thought you'll be comforted, for it's in His hand, this too shall pass. Amen. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Keep the faith. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That's the word of the Lord for you today. Amen. And I believe if Pastor was here, that's what he would want us to hear, is to keep the faith, church. Remember God's goodness. God's not forsaking you. Amen. He's not going to let you go. He's got such a firm grip on you. That no matter how much you wiggle and squirm, you're not going to get out of His grip. Amen. Let's stand and we're going to go over the prayer list. We have Lois Wilson. This is for 513. Do we not have a prayer list? Do we not have a prayer list? Brother Danny? This is for 513. I have it up here, so we'll pray for these people again. Lois Wilson, Lexi McClister, Dean Jesse, and Miriam Hughes. I have it. I don't think God's a God of accident. These people need to be prayed for again. So we're going to get a double dose. Amen. Does anybody have a testimony this morning of God's goodness? Has anybody seen the goodness of the Lord this week in a situation that you'd like to encourage the body with?
Turn it over on the back.
What? And nothing on the back. God's goodness, He's already took care of it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody got a testimony this morning? that you want to share about God's goodness. Amen. Well, Father, we thank you for your word today. We believe we have come into this place, and you have invited us to come into your presence today, Lord. And we believe with all of our hearts that we have come and we have done what you have directed us by your Holy Spirit. Father, we're not on an agenda. We're not on a time. If you ever want us here to 1 o'clock and just lay us all out, we welcome that. But we're here, Lord, to hear from you and to do what you have called us to do. We're your servants, Father. We are your anointed. Hallelujah. We thank you for that stand power this week, God, that whatever report that we may receive this week, God, those that endure to the end, the same shall be saved. And we thank you for your deliverance this week, God. We thank you, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you're going to do, that you're the God of more than enough. And I speak blessing over this congregation. I speak the favor of the Lord over them this week. Lord, your word says that the favor of the Lord surrounds us even as a shield. And I thank you, Lord, that we cannot help but be favored because we belong to you. Now, Lord, if there's anyone in the sound of my voice, whether here by the internet that does not know you, but something has quickened in their spirits to say, yes, I want to know about that goodness that that woman is talking about, that's speaking through the microphone today. I want to know about that goodness. I speak to you today to ask Jesus to come into your heart. Ask him to come in and to cleanse you with his blood. Ask him to forgive you, and he will save you. He will deliver you, and he will set you free. The anointing of an almighty God, the anointing of his word shall destroy and break every yoke. And I thank you, Father God, again for your favor this week. Your favor in health and prosperity, Lord. And in every area of our lives, God, we give it to you. I speak a blessing over your congregation now, Lord, that they go and they be blessed, Lord. That they go and they be blessed, Lord. That they are the head and not the tail. And I thank you for your goodness as we remember and we reflect on your goodness. He gives us the boldness to begin to decree and declare a thing, and it will happen. And for that, we praise you. And the church said, amen. Amen.